But we will have some very specific opinions. I will, at least.
Well, we'll see what I think.
We'll see what Bean thinks about it,
because I don't even know yet.
Welcome to Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. I'm Maury Fontanez.
And I'm Melissa Grushka.
And today we're going to talk about the difference between religion and spirituality. Bean, are you ready to get into it?
Very much so.
What's up, Bean?
What up, Bean? We took a quick hiatus last week, so it's good to see your face.
I know, we did. We didn't record, right? Where were we?
Yeah, I don't remember. But it feels really sad. It feels sad when I don't see you, your face.
I know. And I think when you and Anais and I don't get our therapy sessions in that Friday morning pre-podcast therapy session that we do, gets sad. True. How's your week been?
My week's been a week. How's your week been?
Oh, my week's
not like in a bad way.
Like a suburban dad?
Yeah. Why? That's what I sounded like?
I feel like that's what, like if you're passing someone on the sidewalk and you're like, hello, Joe. Hi, Sam.
How's the weather? It's been a week. I like your white guy suburban dad names.
Thank you.
Hello, Joe.
And Sam. Do you have anything cringy or delightful that's gone on?
I have a delight from just this morning, actually. It was...
Oh, is it the weather?
I get your joke, Joe. No, but actually it was raining pouring all week here. This entire, like, insane monsooning all week. And it is not raining, and that is a pleasure, if you must know.
You guys, if you're listening to this podcast anytime afternoon, anywhere, anytime Bean mentions the weather, go ahead and take a drink.
How quickly you forget, Miss, I'm a West Coaster. How quickly you forget how much the weather dictates the East Coast mood, okay?
I know. Okay, sorry. So, you do your delight. I apologize. Okay.
I actually am going to have two delights. My one delight is that I no longer have to come up with a quippy line when I introduce myself at the top of the episode, because I remember how awkward and painful it felt to do it every time.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that it didn't feel natural and we rid ourselves of that.
Yeah, that's a throwback. Go back to listen to the first few episodes of season 3 and you will hear what Bean is talking about.
We thought it would be funny, but it just wasn't.
I thought it was funny.
And we're evolving and growing with you. Anyway, my other delight was this morning at my son's preschool. Every year, each kid gets their own Shabbat date. We go to a Jewish preschool. If you haven't listened ever, newsflash, I'm a Jew. And today was his Shabbat, and it was actually my last Shabbat I will be attending at that preschool because all three of my kids have gone through, and this is my last baby who is graduating from the school this year. Aww. Anyway, it was really delightful, and I read a really great story. We brought in donuts, and then all the kids have to write little papers after what they like about Remy or what they liked about Remy's Shabbat, and it'll come home in a book for him. And his teacher just sent me one from one of his friends who wrote, "I like Remy's Shabbat because I like the donuts and his mom."
Whoa. All right, kid, cool it.
I was like reading a book with all the enthusiasm and I was like engaging with the kids, but it's so cute. I texted his mom. I'm like, look at what your beautiful son wrote. And she was like, Remy's mom has got it going on.
Yeah, seriously, Remy's mom.
It was a delight to see it in his cute little kid writing. And he drew a picture of me, like a stick figure.
Oh, that really is really sweet. Cute.
Try to top that one, Bean. Top that.
Well, it reminds me, it's not my cringe or delight, but when Kian was in first grade, you know those commercials that are on for like, you know, different kinds of medications for like anxiety, asthma, depression, whatever.
Right?
Like they would come on a lot. And Kian came home. I was going through his worksheets. He was in first or second grade and it was like about emotions. And there was like a happy kid. And it was like, write how this kid is feeling. And he had written in his like scribble, happy, you know, write how this kid is feeling. And there was a kid that was sad. And it was like, write how this kid is feeling. And he had wrote, he has bipolar depression. Which is not funny. Bipolar depression is not funny.
No, no.
The fact that my child learned it from a pharma commercial.
Right. That we shouldn't even be exposed to. But that's another conversation. Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. That's adorbs.
But yours is much more delightful than that. That's really cute.
Yeah, it is really cute. Yeah, hippie.
Okay. I have a cringe. It involves you.
Oh, no.
Girl, this freaking tattoo that we got on our ankle. Foot.
Yeah.
Not ankle. Yeah. I wish it was on my ankle. Our goddamn foot, heel of our foot. apparently if you have some melanin in your skin, it does not hold at that part in your body, a tattoo. So half of the tattoo has faded, which is not new news. You know this. I've shown it to you.
I know. It's sad, though.
Every time I look at it, it's literally embarrassing because it's like, what is this on my body? You can't. So we got a crescent moon, Bean and I, on our feet.
Shout out Stevie Nicks.
Yeah, exactly. But mine has faded to like the top half of a crescent moon. So it kind of looks like a horn. It's almost like if I did another similar shape on the other side of it, it would look like a, like, you know, devil's horns.
Wait, why don't you have it removed and redone?
Because I looked into it and apparently it is excruciatingly painful. It's like
to have it
10
removed?
Times more painful than getting the actual tattoo.
I will say that spot really hurts surprisingly a lot to get tattooed there. Like shockingly so.
Correct. And it was a complete waste of pain for
me. Not for me. Not for my white
Isn't
ass.
That sad?
Yes, that is sad. So what will you do? Because I feel disconnected if we're not matching.
I'll have to get the crescent somewhere else, which I don't mind. I've got a lot of real estate on my arms.
Yeah, you sure do. Let's do it then.
But anyway, I just feel cringy every time I look at it. It's embarrassing to me because it's like, what is this?
So on your foot. Suffer the pain for 1 minute. Take it off.
Fine. All right. Take Maybe we can find off. Some laser surgery centers around here together. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, that's all I got. Sorry. That wasn't that exciting. It just, I looked at it yesterday and I cringed out.
Yeah. Little kids love me and you're upset with your tattoo. It's really, I'm bored. Thanks for boring me this morning.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, let's talk about something more interesting. How about that?
Okay. How about spirituality versus religion?
I really am excited to talk about this today.
So am I.
It might be a little controversial. So just content warning if you feel – actually, I think anyone –
I don't feel that way.
I think even if you're super religious, you should listen to this. We will not offend you. But we will have some very specific opinions. I will at least about –
We'll see what I think.
We'll see what
I don't even know yet.
All right. So why do this episode of religion and spirituality or verses? And I don't want to say verses because they aren't supposed to be confrontational
I said
to one
that.
Another. No, it's fine. I really wanted to do this topic today because I feel like a couple of things are happening in our world and in our culture and specifically here in the United States that are interesting and to me alarming. The first is that you know, when you think about being religious and you think about the generations that are growing up, their attitudes towards religion are changing. I actually looked this up. There was a Pew Research study that they asked, you know, Gen Z, millennials about their affiliations and if they believe in religion. And it says Gen Z adults are notably less likely to identify as Christians specifically compared to baby boomers. The difference is 27% versus 54%. So 27% of exactly. That's a massive change.
Huge.
And then, you know, they'll mostly say that they're religiously unaffiliated. So I thought that was interesting because I think that we're seeing something happen in religion today that is causing this disconnect from religion, which is this feeling of not being necessarily accepted by the religion you're in,
right?
Based on your identity and your beliefs and your values. And maybe this is even more poignant for me who exists in a community of queer and non-binary and trans people who I adore and coach and advocate for, where there's a lot of conversations we have about the religion that I grew up in doesn't necessarily accept me given my truth and who I am. So what choice do you have then to abandon that belief system in order to choose yourself, which is ultimately what you should do. You should choose your truth over anyone else's system.
And abandoning those religions often comes with abandoning a foundation of your family that you grew up with often.
Right, right.
Which can be also super complicated. Right.
Right. So there's that. So I think the first hypothesis we're working with in this episode is younger people are identifying as less religious because religion creates constrictions and boundaries that does not allow a lot of identities to feel seen and welcomed within it. Not all religion, but some.
I would say the vast majority.
The vast majority. Agreed. I think of specifically Western religion. Let's make that clear.
Yes.
Christianity, Islam, Judaism are more constrictive than the Eastern religions of Hinduism and Buddhism. So I think that when we're talking about organized religion in this episode, we're mostly talking about Western religion. Okay, but there's another reason that I really wanted to talk about this today, which is the direction that this country, the United States, is moving, which is feeling to me like a theocracy, a government that is led by religion. And I know that that maybe sounds dramatic to people. I hope that you have been following along enough that it's not surprising. But if it is surprising, I think it's really important to pay attention to what's happening, not just at a federal level, but at a state and local level around education. We've talked about banned books. You've seen, you know, the banning of abortion. That has everything to do yes. with Christianity and with evangelical Christianity. So, you know, it's not, shouldn't be a surprise. The other perspective and vantage point I feel like I have is, you know, a family that escaped a country that went from being non-religious, then through a revolution becoming the Islamic Republic of Iran. I think sometimes it's easier for Americans to look at other countries and think, oh yeah, them, but not us.
Right.
But my family literally lived through a very westernized culture of religious freedom that was immediately changed when a very conservative far right group came in and took over, which is the direction we're heading in this country. So I think it's important because we need to get our heads wrapped around where are we headed? What does it mean when people are talking about religion here? And if that doesn't feel good to us, what is the other option, which in my head is spirituality? But before we get there, I did look at some research around what's happening in this country around religion. And Pew, I just talked about them earlier, they did a survey that they just completed in March where they were curious about how are people feeling about religion in the United States. And in that survey, the survey finds that 80% of U.S. adults say religion's role in American life is shrinking, a percentage that's as high as it's ever been in their surveys. So this is the highest point of people feeling like religion is coming out of American life. And they make a point in this article to say, and people don't feel like that's a good thing. That's not a response that's saying it's shrinking. Yay. It's a response that's it's shrinking and this is dangerous. It's shrinking and we don't like that.
Isn't it strange that with the shrinking of people's commitment to organized religion that we are seeing these things like book bans and a fight against women's reproductive rights and things that are based solely in religion on the rise almost?
Is it like
a last ditch attempt to take control?
I think it's to me, when I read it, it was a combination of things. One, we just talked about how Gen Z and millennials are less religious than the baby boomer generation. So there's some of that. But that response to me, coupled with whoever wrote this at Pew saying, you know, those respondents saying that religion is shrinking in American life, say it's not a good thing, is a fear response. It's a, oh, it's shrinking and we're afraid that it's shrinking. And actually, this was even more interesting. In that survey, 42% of Republicans and Republican-leaning independents say that when the Bible and the will of the people conflict, the Bible should have more influence on U.S. law than the will of the people.
It's a deep breath for me. That's a deep breath for me. Wait, and this is just Republicans and Republican-leaning
42% of Republican and Republican-leaning independents. Now, they do say 16% of Democrats and Democrat-leaning independents say this as well, 16% versus 42%. 21% of Republicans and GOP-leaning people say the federal government should declare Christianity the official religion of the United States.
What? I'm sorry, say that percentage again. There's a lot of thoughts going through my head.
21% of Republicans. Yeah, 21%. It's still 21%.
It's a lot.
And so I think that this shrinking comes from the desire for it to have a larger role and feeling that it doesn't. That 80% saying it's shrinking that I said up front. There's a few more statistics that show how uncomfortable people are feeling about even being able to speak up about being religious. 48% of U.S. adults say there's a great deal or some conflict between their religious beliefs and the mainstream American culture, up from 42%. Okay. 29% say they think of themselves as religious minorities. 41% say it's best to avoid discussing religion at all if someone disagrees with you. So there is this growing sense of feeling that I am religious, that religion is Christianity. I am uncomfortable speaking about it because American mainstream culture, quote unquote, is going away from this religion. And if you're Republican leaning, 42% believe that the Bible should have the last word if it is in conflict to the will of the people. Okay, so all of that to say, we are not having a conversation right now about politics in America.
Yeah, let's table that. Let's table
but it. All of that to say that religion is becoming a really important topic, at least in this country. And as we think about religion, I would love for us to talk about the very essence, the purpose, the core of religion, and what it's meant to provide people, and how that may overlap with spirituality and may not, yes. Because we're seeing people move towards becoming more spiritual, I believe, like I said up top, because religion is feeling non-inclusive to some, and because religion is becoming increasingly political in this country, which is opening the door to spirituality for more.
I also think I could be incorrect, but I also think that with things like social media, there is more access to spirituality. And before, it was more in smaller arenas, let's say, with less access to their information and their belief system. So a lot of people, I think, wrote it off as being very woo-woo, where I still think a lot of people do. Yeah. But I think now that people have had more of myself fully included in this, have caught a glimpse of what spirituality can be, not what we assumed it was without really knowing, people are like, oh, that does sound more appealing right. than originally yeah. thought.
Yeah. What's your relationship with religion, Bean?
It's always complicated for me because I am such a super proud Jew all the time, left and right, but I'm not a religious being. I never have been. I'm extremely culturally Jewish. Mm-hmm. It's the religious aspect, while important to me as a Jew, as a small number, as a religion that has a very small number of people, I can find value in that, but it's not what resonates with me. Mm-hmm. To me, it's completely the culture. Mm-hmm. It's being this very small subset of people that are like-minded often, and the holidays. And mm-hmm. there are parts, like even my daughter's practicing for her bat mitzvah right now, and her Torah portion is all about, there are parts of it, like is all about kindness and leaving space for your neighbor and leaving, you know, apples from your orchard for those less fortunate. And there are a lot of beautiful aspects from the Torah that do resonate with me, but again, not more, really more from a moral perspective than a religious perspective. What about you, actually? I feel like I've celebrated with you and your family several times, but I never get that super religious sense from you guys as well.
Yeah, that's why I really resonate with you saying it's cultural. I mean, I'm very Persian, mm-hmm. which is a culture. You know, Persians also are very diverse religiously. There is a lot of Jewish Persians. Go to Beverly Hills, you'll run into one immediately. There are obviously Muslim Persians. There's Christian Persians. So I think that we really focus on our culture. I grew up with a lot of religions around me. I mean, obviously, my family is Muslim-ish. I say ish because it's not really practiced. It wasn't practiced in our home until my grandmother would come visit, and then she would pray. You know, she'd do the Muslim prayer 3 times a day for Ramadan. She would fast. And then when she was around, my mom was more apt to do those things.
Right.
And through my grandmother, I really learned spirituality. So what you're going to hear a lot in this episode is that I do think the two things can coexist, because I had this amazing example of this woman who experienced her spirituality through her religion. I don't know that I think that's the exception to the rule, but I have seen it happen. And then I had my dad who became a Baptist Christian. I had
Baptist?
My, yeah.
I don't even recall this. Baptist?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
When he came to the States, did he become Baptist?
I want to say it was right after their divorce. So I was probably 8 or 9.
Okay.
but he would quote the Bible a lot. And so I would talk to him about the Bible a lot. And then my aunt, who I grew up with, I'd spend a lot of time with, and we celebrated all the holidays with, she's Catholic. And so I would go to mass with them for Christmas Eve and Easter and things like that. So I was exposed to a lot of Western religions. And I never felt drawn to any of them because I am a very freedom-oriented, rule-breaking type of person. So anytime you would give me like, these are the rules or this is the way you're supposed to be, my immediate reaction is no. Even if it's something that's for my best interest, my first reaction is no. So I never, even as a kid or a teenager, flirted with religion. But religion for me has always been fascinating from a historical standpoint. So like I would throw myself into comparative religion classes and things like that because I really see religion as a historical artifact. That's the way it feels to me.
I feel like this is a good moment for you to differentiate, or me, but you, to differentiate between what we mean by religion and what we mean by spirituality.
Yeah, that's a very good point. So listen, I think that you're going to find a lot of thoughts about this. I'm going to give you mine that are, I think, reflective of the general perspective here.
Okay.
So take it. If you look at religion, religion is a lot about externalized rules and externalized power, whereas spirituality is about internalized empowerment. Religion is about external community. Spirituality is about finding your inner world and connecting to that inner world. Religion is about believing that, you know, creation and manifestation, it comes from an external power. Again, we're talking Western religion, you know, the one God concept, where spirituality is about you as the source of that manifestation and that creation.
I mean, who doesn't want to be spiritual hearing that?
I know.
Right? Like, take charge, y'all.
I think that if you are indoctrinated into religion, the fear is that if you do that, you will be rejected by that one all-powerful God who will find that somehow offensive, that you did not revere him, which I also have that word. Anyway, so that is, I think, the fear is that because those religions, you know, say that if you don't accept the one God, you will not be accepted into heaven or whatever it might be. There's a fear that if you don't believe in that hierarchy, you will somehow then, you know, go to hell.
I also think that religion, one of the beautiful aspects of religion, because I too do not, religion often does not resonate with me very much. I do think though, one of the beautiful aspects is it does bring people together and it does create a community, whether or not you want to be there or not, that it is a community around you. So I think there's tremendous fear in losing your community and those you care about around you, even if you don't agree with the policies in place.
You're absolutely right. And then I think the last difference is that religion is really an organized set of principles.
Right.
And spirituality is not an organized set of principles. It's about finding the answers within. It is about mindfulness. It's about coming to connection with the divine in your own way, which is, you know, think about like that is so vast. It could look like a million different things.
Right.
Whereas religion's going to say, this is it. This is the book. This is what it is to be a Catholic, a Muslim, a Jew. This is what it is. And spirituality says, no, go find it for yourself. You are the divine. You are the reflection of the divine.
I think it's easier to have something. I think it's easier for most people to have something tangible rather than like some completely unknown something. It's an easier thing to grasp.
100%. Goes back to, if you guys listened, I wish we had the episode number, but we did an episode about reincarnation and we did an episode about the soul and an amazing teacher and author who I love, Ainsley MacLeod, and he writes about what he has channeled around the soul and the soul's journey, and he talks about soul levels. Do you remember this? Like soul ages, not levels, because that's not a hierarchy. But what he says in that book is that younger souls, because they have had less go-rounds
in
the human experience on this planet, they need more structure and rules to understand the human experience. So they tend to gravitate towards systems and structures and rules like religion.
I feel like
because
that's
it makes
fair.
The experience safer and easier right. to understand. And that then as you've had more and more and more and more life experiences, you're able to expand that understanding right. to something.
It's almost like a guidebook of right. a sort, you know?
Yes. That was actually episode 29, our producer just told me. So if you're interested in listening in episode 29, we talk about that a lot. And I think that from a history standpoint, it's really interesting to think about how religion began to really take hold. If you read any of, you know, Western religion books, the Bible, the Quran, the First Testament, you will see that there's a lot of talk about how uncivilized society was before
religion,
the prophet showed up.
Right. Right.
And actually, from a historical context, that is one of the functions of religion. It was believed that people needed rules and laws and to feel that there was going to be a higher power that would judge them so that they weren't running around killing each other and sleeping with each other's wives and husbands
right.
and
it would be chaos.
Stealing. Right. Which I believe, and this goes all the way back to the ancient Sumerians who started to create power over these kinds of systems and religions to try and organize society so that they could develop society and develop more and more landmass and towns and have more people under their control. So religion is a way of creating, power.
The masses.
In history. And just to be clear.
And like, no judgment here.
That's interesting to me because what that says to me is that the belief system is that humans are inherently bad.
Right.
That humans are inherently flawed. That if we are left to our own devices, we will create harm. That's the belief system.
Right.
And I have the opposite belief system. I believe we are inherently love. We are inherently good. We are inherently divine. And that we are indoctrinated into creating harm through systems of shame and oppression and hatred.
I will just say, really quick, back to Judaism. I just was at an event at my synagogue this week where a reformed white nationalist, like a full-on neo-Nazi, was speaking at the congregation to the congregation.
Wow.
And he, I mean, has like the tattoos all of his hand, but he is now actually a practicing Jew because he found out way after the fact. And he had a kippah on. And he was saying his whole story was that he didn't fit in anywhere. He was a latchkey kid and like he would grow up in this Vietnamese neighborhood and no one accepted him there. And then he moved to this Irish neighborhood and they all said, you're not Irish. And he never found any home. And he was a good kid inside, but he just started acting out. And then he found this group that accepted him. And because of all the shame he had felt from previous moments in his life, created tremendous amounts of harm, which he now has great remorse for.
Wow.
Just speaking to that as an example that he truly like wasn't a bad kid. He just didn't right. know any better because this was his life. It was being rejected right. and having no identity.
Yeah, that's right. Wow, that's really powerful.
It was beautiful. And he has like, it was really cool. Yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. So yeah, I mean, we both just said it. I think that that's part of the challenge I have with Western organized religion is this judgmental God who creates this sense that we can be bad or that we have to experience shame, right. that there is a hell that we go to. Next week, we're going to do an episode on karma, which I believe is a clearer system to me. To explain the consequence of harmful actions.
Oh.
Yes.
It feels that also feels like not very tangible to me. So I'm curious to see how that plays out. Let's tune in next week.
Rather than this idea of you do something bad, you go to hell.
Right. I agree.
I believe you do something, you create harm, harm has to happen to balance the experience.
Right.
Which we'll talk about next week. Anyway.
Okay.
So that is where religion and spirituality also differ is this inherentness of badness in humans or love in human beings.
So it almost sounds like you can't have both, but I feel like there are religious beings who are also spiritual.
Absolutely. Yes. I think that you can have both. So let's talk about what that might look like. I believe that if you are practicing in a religion where you are feeling empowered to accept yourself as human,
right,
which includes all of your mistakes, all of the ways that you're struggling, all of those contracted shadow shame places.
Self-love. And see, if your religion is teaching you self-love.
And see those as part of your divine experience. And that you are encouraged to, while practicing in any religion and ascribing to the rules and the boundaries, still be on a quest of understanding self and seeing self as part of something greater that is connected to love, then it is absolutely possible to be spiritual and religious. I think that it is harder if you identify as someone that does not feel accepted in that religion, because then you inherently cannot practice self-love in a religion that tells you you should not exist as you are.
Totally. That's really conflicting.
Absolutely. So that's where I feel like spirituality is the answer, because that then allows those that have felt rejected from religion and, to your point, community. You know, people are then losing family, they're losing neighbors, they're losing they're losing their community. That spirituality is the answer, because what spirituality says is, no, you are inherently love. You are inherently, in your truth, reflective of the divine, reflective of a larger consciousness, and you have an important purpose here. Come here and understand yourself and understand your part in it and embrace that. And that is so empowering. And that is such a loving response to feeling so rejected by a system that, because of rules that were written by men long ago, say that you shouldn't exist.
I feel like that was my foray into spirituality, was understanding it from that perspective. Because I truthfully, honestly, prior to the last 2 years, I'd say, saw them as synonymous, spiritual and religious. I didn't even know there was much of a difference. I assumed if you were, you know, a God-fearing believer, you were spiritual. And now I see them as completely different. I am now of the belief system that there is a larger universe at play. You know, there are so many factors that are so much greater than me at play in the world, whether they're conscious or subconscious. There's just so many things that impact our lives that are out of our control.
Yeah.
That it has allowed me to understand, oh, okay.
Well, and when you say a larger universe at play too, I think the thing we haven't talked about that I do want to touch on with religion is, you know, anytime one religion that honors God is telling you that the way other people honor God is wrong.
Correct.
We have a problem.
It doesn't sit well with me, because I don't want to judge you because of my own religion.
Correct. Like, we've all been created by some larger intelligence.
Energy,
even if you believe that larger intelligence is just nature, right? Whatever it is.
I do, sort of. Right.
Right. Whatever it is, we've been created by the same source, whatever that source is to you. So if you're believing that some of us were created by that source and loved by that source, while others were created by that source and
but not loved,
not equal, that doesn't make sense.
Right. You can't cherry
and
pick.
Two, it's a hierarchy again. I just think anytime any system wants you to believe in a hierarchy, it means that the very top of that system wants power over you. So it's really important, whereas spirituality says, no, we are all connected. We are all part of a larger consciousness. We are a ripple effect on each other. So I will be loving to you because I am you. You are me. We are made of the same material.
That's how I like to move through life, right? Like, we are the same. So I will bestow upon you the same level of respect that I would like bestowed upon me from you.
Right.
That's my religion, is kindness.
Yes.
Okay. So awesome. We're talking about all these Gen Z. Yes. Groovy. We're talking about how religion is not resonating with a lot of generations any longer. What would be your advice to somebody who is in this position where they're like, this isn't hitting any longer, but I don't want to lose this community and I don't want to lose this identity that I've had for X number of years?
Yeah, that's a really good question.
You literally say that anytime I ask a question.
It is.
You ask one time, just be like, that's a horrible question. That's a question.
Stupid question.
You're stupid.
Yeah, what do you do if you've been raised in a religion and that religion is a part of your community? It's a part of your belonging, your friends,
and your foundation. Family. Right. It's fundamental to how you grew up. Right.
Yeah. You know, first of all, I would just say that that's a really difficult experience. So give yourself some, you know, grace that you're going to go through a really hard time just acknowledging, because that's the first step, acknowledging this practice, this set of beliefs doesn't fit my own belief system, doesn't fit who I am any longer. That coming into that realization that the package you're in is way too tight and small for who you are in itself is like a caterpillar going into a cocoon and emerging on the other end of it. So give that process some time. You don't have to immediately do anything about it. But what I will say is, follow the flow of what feels good to your sense of dignity, to your sense of loving yourself. And if something that you're doing or being asked to do goes against loving yourself, against having dignity, because dignity is your birthright. It is your right as a human being. You are entitled to dignity. If something that you are being asked to do or believe or say goes against that dignity, just baby steps in not doing the things that are taking dignity away. And as those baby steps add up, you're going to see yourself walking away from and walking towards. Yes, we do lose community maybe. Maybe we do lose friends, but we gain so much more when we go towards the community that sees us for who we are and loves us for that and allows us to express our truth. Because being in your truth is the most spiritual thing you can do. It is the closest thing to God. It is the closest thing to the divine, is to be in your truth and be in love, because that's the energy of the divine, is love.
I think another great point comes from your method, is that simply acknowledging it is powerful. So not trying to say this feels uncomfortable, but I'm just going to suppress it because this is my community. I don't want to hear it. I think even just giving it a little attention and hearing what it has to say, that part of you can allow you to grow. And it, like you said, it'll be baby steps, but just not feeling guilty for having something feel unsettling to you. It's okay to feel that way. And it's important to explore that.
And speak up to your community. You never know the kind of conversation you might be able to engender. You never know the kind of connection you might be able to create. You don't know the kind of change you might be able to create. There are plenty of Christian communities, Muslim communities that are accepting, deeply accepting. And that is also a possibility to remain in that community, but ask that community to meet you where you're at and to make you feel included by just speaking up and talking about what it feels like and how ostracized you can feel. You would be surprised the ripple effect of change that you can have. Because again, remember, my grandmother is an example, very Muslim woman, very spiritual woman, very accepting woman. Like, she absolutely loved everyone and believed everyone deserved respect and dignity. Just because they're people who are religious doesn't mean that you're not going to find the spiritual ones in there. And you may be able to build community within your religion by looking for the spiritual people in the religion. And by spiritual, it's just connected to love, connected to dignity, connected to connection rather than power and hierarchy and rules.
Or on the other side, if they don't meet you where you are and they tell you that you are a terrible person for living in your truth, that's just more knowledge and information you have to make another step in whatever direction you want to go.
And know that people who believe that are indoctrinated into a very old system that's about power. It has nothing to do with you. It's going to feel like rejection, but it's just about their own fear that if they let go of that system of rules and control and power, they will be lost. It's not about you.
I try to give them grace for that as well, because that would be a terrifying feeling to have, to feel that if I don't do X, Y, and Z, I will burn in hell or whatever your belief is. That probably does feel terrifying. So I try to remember that when I'm debating a topic with somebody from that mindset or anything, that that's their truth too. So
people only react from hatred when there's fear.
That's what this white supremacist was saying. This former white supremacist was truly saying. He said every single thing that they did and operated from was all fear-based. Everything. Right. Was fear-based.
Which is why we're going to just go right back to politics. Trump is so successful because fear is a very, very intoxicating motivator. And when you say to everyone, you're getting disappeared, no one cares about your religion or your whiteness. Uh-oh, if there's no Christianity in this country, then what's going to happen? Right? Like that motivates people.
Right.
Exactly. So just know that that hatred that's being projected to you is coming from a deep-seated fear of loss. Of loss of their own humanity.
I always hope, but I really do hope that we resonated with somebody deep in their religion right now who is having this struggle. And I do encourage people to sort of explore spirituality. However, spirituality does still come with a whole bunch of woo-woo-ness that does not resonate with me and does not resonate with a lot of other people who want to move in that direction, but don't necessarily want to do, you know, chants under a full moon or, and I'm not even opposed to that. I'm just saying there's a lot of elements of spirituality that might feel a little uncomfortable or icky to people who are possibly moving away from religion and into spirituality or just simply exploring spirituality at all. So how can you kind of move towards it without getting sucked into any of the discomfort that could? Do you know what I'm saying? I'm not trying to diss spirituality either. I feel like I'm mincing words with religion, spirituality, because these are, have carried such meaning with people, both of them.
Of course. I'm hearing you ask if there are elements of modern day spirituality that turn off, great. Like chanting with crystals in your hand.
Right.
How can you still go towards it even though those elements don't resonate with you, which is very fair. Again, I think it's about remembering the entire point of the concept of spirituality, which is that it's about your own journey inward to accept, radically accept yourself, to see yourself as a being of love, and to feel yourself connected to source energy, whatever that source energy is to you. But what I will tell you, and I know this, is that the feeling of that source energy is pure unconditional love. So anytime, even in spirituality, someone is telling you to get that, you need to
...
then that's going towards religion.
Right.
You don't need to be in any group. If the group helps you experience yourself as a reflection of love, as a connection to something larger, if it helps you to feel empowered, if it helps you to see your purpose, then wonderful. But if the group is making you go away from all of that, that's not spirituality. So just make sure it resonates with you. That's the entire point of spirituality. Some people feel that chanting under the moonlight does resonate because it connects them to an energy that they resonate with. Wonderful. If it doesn't resonate, just know spirituality is about your own individual journey to connecting to self and to larger source energy, whatever that looks like.
I love that. Because it was really tricky for me to start dabbling in this because, honestly, of some of those, what I feel are more extreme interpretations of spirituality. I had trouble distinguishing between the two at first because I was like, I'm nowhere. I'm not there. Yeah. I'm not there. Right. So this has been helpful insight for me, who is very new on my spirituality journey as well.
Good. So then give us your famous Melissa's takeaway.
Takeaway. My best takeaway from this, although it seems really obvious, I think I never put it into these words, is that religion is all about external sources. And it's about, you know, this one higher power or whatever the higher power is that's really in charge of every single thing you do and really is the reason for everything that's happening. Whereas spirituality is like almost about taking responsibility for yourself and your life and the direction you want to move and the way that you show up in life. Right? Like you want to come from a place of love. You want to come from a place of fear, whatever it is, it's your own journey. And you recognize how many other, I feel like for me on my spirituality journey, I've recognized how many other factors are at play in my even everyday journey, which I never really thought about before, you know, like somebody else's life. I think we've referenced this before, the Sliding Doors movie with Gwyneth Paltrow, that there are just so many moments in your life where you're like, the universe could have been, could have gone this, my whole world could have gone this way, or my whole world could have gone that way.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just kind of how you're navigating it. I actually just read a quote. Do you want me to find it?
Yes. Well, and while you find this quote, I want to add something, which is that spirituality is about knowing that you are loved and valuable and full of dignity and purpose and power, regardless of what rules you do and don't follow, regardless of the quote unquote mistakes you make or don't make in your life, that that is inherent to your being. That love, that power, that dignity, that value is inherent regardless of your actions, regardless of whether you follow rules or not.
Super powerful. Here's my, this isn't even totally, does it totally relate? No, I think it does. It's said, you can't stop the waves, but you can learn to surf. It's sort of like everything's coming at you. The universe is doing all these things and you have to find it within yourself how to navigate along the way, along your own journey.
Wow.
Learn to surf.
You're really, you're really giving me California surfer dude.
Thanks.
That just was smoked my vibe. A joint. Yeah.
It's my vibe.
All right, bruh. Okay. Well, that was a great conversation, Bean. Yeah. Thank you for having it with me. As always, guys, if you found this episode helpful, interesting, insightful in any way, please share it with your friends and family. Don't forget to leave us a review anywhere that you're listening to this podcast, and we'll see you again next week. Thanks, guys. Bye, Bean.
Bye.
This has been another episode of Signal, the podcast that raises your frequency. This podcast is co-hosted by me, Maury Fontanez, and Melissa Gushka. Special thanks to my production team, Anushree Thekadev, Arman Kassam, and Anais Islami. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode. See you then.